Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
So, just to confirm that we have had half time and Shea and Joe have changed ends in the pit lane, and Shea's going to give us some news about Performance Tech.
I walked down to their box and I saw Craig Bormeister starting to tear things down. He said, "Oh no, we'll be back." Gwen O'Neill pulled me in. They just shared some drive pits earlier on, so now they're back. It's about a 5-minute fix, so the car will be back out, and as Gwen said, it's still a long race. We still have halfway to go.
Exactly so. Hello, Chris Suku, who's in the Ningoto Hotel. Now, I'm very envious of that, because that is the former... It's not very often I would be envious of somebody who is in a former automotive factory as a hotel. But, of course, Ningoto is the venue made famous by the Italian job, the original Italian job from the 1960s, where the chase scene went onto the test track on the roof of that former Fiat factory. That is now a hotel. And Chris Suku's tuned into us from there. Very nice. Couple of busy days at work ahead, he says, and enjoying listening and I presume watching as well via the world feed at imsaradio.com. Chris, envy from me here. What I want to know is, have you got your hire car up on the roof yet? And also the Blur Fiend, one of our regular contributors as well.
Who I met yesterday, introduced himself to me yesterday walking around the paddock.
Yeah, quite.
Charles.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Porsche technician, often working while listening to Midweek Motorsport on a Wednesday, 8 o'clock UK. And at the moment, that's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Eastern Time. Quite a lot of the collective members here this weekend, and some of them have been organising their own little mini meetups. Good, really good community feel here at Sebring this year. Cross the line then for another lap completed. Pete Mudrani by 1.7 seconds from Ricky Taylor and Mike Rockenfeller.
Yeah, I think it was a particularly gnarly knot of traffic they had to negotiate on that lap down to the 152s. They have been actually two of the last three laps in the 52s. 48s they're going to be doing when they have clear traffic amongst the leaders, and just shows you easily lose 3 or 4 seconds a lap negotiating slower cars, and that's just one of the things you've got to be mindful of. You're going to lose the time at some stage or another. If you lose it now, the guy you're racing with will most likely lose it in another few laps or a little bit later on. But you just got to work your way through as cleanly as possible, not make contact with anybody. That's the key. If you lose a couple of seconds here and there, don't worry about it.
People who've listened to our broadcast a lot will know that I've said this before, but it was none other than the great Ron Fellows, the wizard of GM racing, who is here this weekend, and delighted that we're going to be going back to visit him, Linda, and the rest of the team at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park on Canada Day weekend as well this season. Ron once said that his Corvette Racing team mechanics were the best on the paddock, but there was nothing that he could break that they could fix in 2 seconds. So even if you lose 2 seconds behind a car before you have to overtake, or 5 seconds, or 8 seconds, that was the point he was making.
Yeah.
There's nothing that they can fix in 8 seconds. You must much, much, much better losing that time over a lap or a couple of laps and having the car still straight so that you can battle. And that's that risk versus reward calculation. Oh, huge tyre. Oh, was that a tyre or was it a piece of bodywork coming off one of the cars? That, I think, is the car that I saw earlier on that was struggling down the Ullman Straight, one of the fastest places on the circuit. And a huge shower of debris, looked like it may have been carbon fibre, on the back straight. Now, what I didn't see was full course yellow. Pits have been closed and there is a car coming into the pit immediately. And he didn't make... I think that was performance. That was It was the 47 car, I'm hearing. 47 motorsports car.
Boy, they've had dramas in this race, haven't they?
There was already some debris on the track that got hit by the AWA car, and that's what absolutely mangled it, but it was already there. The 11 car indeed entered the closed pit, but that debris was not from the cars as they went over it. That had already been there. It was just shredded by something else. That was a large piece of debris to be sitting in the middle of the track. So which car had already lost that? Oh, brilliant work from the tape apes. Thank you, replay. They've already found something. And a gaggle of cars.
57 car, I think. That's the Wynwood car.
It was the Wynwood car, yeah. Good spot, Jeremy. That was in the group of cars ahead of the Liqui Moly Turner car, the AWA car. So that was the 5-7 Wynwood Mercedes AMG.
Sheesh.
Great pickup by our replay team. I call them the Tape Apes. That's the old name, old broadcast name for it. I do that with much affection. I hope they're not at all upset by that. Rather says more about how long I've been involved in doing these broadcasts than anything else. The replay team, I will say that. It's all digital nowadays, but it still has to be found. Great pickup by our colleagues up in Charlotte who are providing us with the pictures so we can talk to you around the track and around the world. So another full course yellow. This is the fifth then, Jeremy, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, good. I'm now just keeping them on my fingers, so I'm walking around with five up all the time. It does look a bit bizarre. I have got a Sharpie here that I could maybe just, you know, write it on my hand, then rub it off, write the next one on. It's not elegant, but it works, you know. It really does. So, again, a short bit of green, just 20 minutes of green flag. So we can, if race direction decides it appropriate, we can open the pits. There's no need for it to be what's called a short yellow. My goodness me, that was a very nasty moment indeed. Let's do a very quickly, before anything happens, let's do a VP Racing Fuels update. We did the top of the field as we were going back to green last time. GTD, Mike Skeen, Gilbert Kothoff Motorsport, the number 32 Mercedes. Ahead of the 28 Allegra car, same manufacturer, and Phil Ellis for Wynwood Racing, which we think lost that bodywork panel, or perhaps part of the under tray. Phil Ellis behind the wheel of that car. Mercedes AMG GT3, first, second, and third, with Bill Oberlin in his 500th race for BMW. And Turner Motorsport in that. Well, he wasn't that far behind that because he was the one who had to avoid the shredded piece of bodywork in the Liqui Moly Turner Motorsport number 96. Then Spencer Pumpelly for Aston Martin and Magnus Racing, the number 44. They fought their way back up after some problems earlier on. Simon Mann for AF Corsa for Ferrari is sixth in the GTD class. Seventh, Scott Andrews for Vassar Sullivan in the number 12 Lexus RCF, the yellow and black car. 8th, Patrick Gallagher for Crucial Motorsport in the metallic bronze McLaren 720. That's the number 59 car. 9th, Ollie Milroy in the other McLaren. That's the darker coloured car, the Inception car with the red stripes on it. That's the number 70. And winding up the top 10, Chetilar Racing with the mostly blue and white, but with the red driver's door, red left-hand side door. Giorgio Cernagiotto in the 47 car. That's your top 10 in GTD. In GTD Pro, it is BMW M4 GT3 of Team RLL, BMW M Team RLL, Philip Eng in the 24 car, Jules Gounon for WeatherTech Racing in second in their Mercedes, that is the 97 car. Then Corvette Racing with the bright yellow number 3, it's Nicky Katzberg driving that. Well, as you can imagine, all these cars are line astern. Lexus RCF GT3, Jack Hawksworth, the 14 car. It's the one that doesn't quite have all the livery towards the back edge of the bonnet beside the bottom of the windscreen that peeled off earlier on. The Pfaff Motorsports, Driveway Porsche, Felipe Nasser, the number 9 in fifth position. That's the plaid coloured car. TR3 Racing is the bright green Lamborghini. All still on the lead lap, these cars, by the way. Andrea Caldarelli in that car. That's the 63. Carl Marcelli for Racers Edge Motorsport. That's the red Acura NSX GT3. Next up in seventh place. And rounding up the top eight, Julian Andlau for WeatherTech Racing in the 79 Porsche. All on the lead lap in class. In LMP3, Riley Motorsports leading in the blue and orange number 74. Felipe Fraga from Dakota Dickerson in second for Junior 3 Racing, and third, John Bennett for Core Autosport. And for the other two classes, let me just quickly refresh as they're coming around. Gives us the chances we're starting to get. Well, we've got the guys in. It was Pete Durrani that came in first for Mike Rockenfeller and Ricky Taylor. Whelan Engineering, Ally Cadillac and Cunningham and Alta. Joe Bradley has those pit stops. And that is your VP Racing Fuels update.
It's going to put these cars exactly on the same strategy again. Fuel top-up going on. No driver change on Shire on the Mayor-Shank Racing number 60. Oh, and it's a race off pit road with the number 10. Conningham and Alta car, and it just gets ahead of Mayer-Shank, and then we've got the Mustang Samley car, then the Ally car, and then the Whelan car. There goes the number 2. I think he didn't have a choice but to slot in behind the Ally car. The Whelan car got up pit road very quickly and then had to kill all of its speed to avoid a collision, I think. So it what it gained on the pit apron, it lost in the race to the pit exit.
So they came in with Whelan, then Ally Cadillac, then Cunningham and Alta Acura, then Cadillac Racing 02, then Tristan Fortier. They have not gone out in that order. I'll give you that in a moment as Shea tells us what happened in the other classes further up the pit lane.
I was watching the LMP3 stops for Riley. It was fuel and tires for Felipe Fraga, as well as a new drinks bottle. But for Core, number 54, defending race winners from a year ago, brake change on the front going on right now. That is no driver change, so John Bennett staying aboard and just waiting for the front pads to be inserted on the right hand side. There we go. Now they're done. New tires are going on, and this car is going to be sent out. Nice manipulative use of the safety car to do the brake change under yellow instead of a green. I like it from Colin Brown and his dad.
If you know you've got to do it, then you might as well take the opportunity to do it under full course yellow.
Yeah, and I think we saw a few cars do that a little bit
Correct.
Earlier in the race, didn't they? At Daytona, there was a mandatory brake change that all the teams had to do in LMP3. That's a car that's not really designed for 24-hour races, therefore they knew they were going to have to do that in order to basically ensure that the teams don't spend an inordinate amount of money to make sure they can make the brake pad change any faster. There's a minimum time allotted of 4 minutes at Daytona. Last year it was 8 minutes.
Yeah.
This year it's 4 minutes.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
But there's no minimum, there's no mandatory requirement for here in the 12 hours of Sebring. I don't think, I'm sure there isn't.
Before the GTDs come in, let's quickly recap what's happened in the first half of the race. Can't do every single incident, but it was an action-packed first 5 or 10 minutes. That would take us 6 hours to go through it all, to be honest. We had a number of the major contenders in various classes, including the Andretti Autosport prototype, the 01 Chip Ganassi Cadillac, all with problems, all having to go behind the wall. Engine problems for both of those two that I've mentioned. Both Heart of Racing Aston Martins had issues and were behind the wall. We had some overheating for a couple of cars as well. We had a diff problem for the right Porsche. The high class racing car has been hit, has hit people, has spun, has had all kinds of pit penalties. The red and white number 20 car has been in bother pretty much all day, but it is still running. We had Juan Montoya unable to avoid a spinning car in front of him that took the Dragon Speed car out just after he'd taken that car over, and he hit the back of the number 1 Paul Miller Racing car. That put that car behind the wall for a while, but that has come back out and is still running. And here comes the GTs. Shea Adam will take the GTD Pros. Joe has the GTD leader. Shea first.
We've got Turner Motorsport in. Windshield tear-off fuel and no tires for that car. Fuel only for the Techamet-sponsored 57 Windward Racing Mercedes. No driver change there. Fuel only for the Gilbert Cockroach Mercedes. That also having its service completed, but it's fuel tires and driver change for the 21 Ferrari. That is Luis Perez come back, tanking back over that machine. Joe?
That's the car getting underway. It's in second place in GTD Pro. We almost have a collision with the WeatherTech 97 and a 32 Mercedes. Almost had a Mercedes coming together there. And we're still very busy on pit road. That's the car just making their way out. There's the WeatherTech Porsche 79 out as well. And how we avoid a collision in this pit stop chaos, I'll never know.
They're being very careful and very sensible. It is organised chaos, isn't it? When that happens and everybody comes in together. 53 cars started the race. I would say we've only had one official retirement, and that is the number 81. But
and the 42, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they told us they were out, didn't they? I think.
Jared Andretti, number 36, also a official retirement, an official retirement, as well as Juan Montoya's number 81 Orica Lamborghini Huracan as well. The 42, that was the NTE car, that looks like it's an official retirement as well. It's been greyed out. Other cars that have had issues are way down the field. The Reprinto de Andrade Orica, that's the number 8 tower car, that's been stopped for quite a long time, as has the 27 Hart of Racing Aston. That did get back out from behind the wall, but I think that's gone back again back to the paddock area. Whether we see that one again, I'm not sure. And same for Renger van der Zander and the rest of the 01 Cadillac DPI team.
Yeah, that is circulating.
That is still circulating, yeah. And it's been going all right for a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think
Gradient's
so.
Had their problems as well, but they're back out.
33 laps behind is that car. Number 62 Ferrari, we talked about that a little while ago. That has gained another of its laps back. So now I think just 5 laps behind the leaders in GTD Pro.
That's the recent competition car. Both that and the BMW had power steering problems.
Yeah.
The Gradient NSX Acura, their young Acura Academy driver had an accident at the exit of turn one, and then the car cut out on him as he was trying to get that car back as well, given Simpson. So that car was delayed, but again that car is running again. And I'm trying to remember any others, as I think I mentioned the right car with the diff, didn't I? That was the 16 car. The number 7 Duquesne, that car I think has been parked up for quite a long time as well. The 47 Motorsports car, that's been in and out. Anthony Mantella, the last one to bring that one in. And it's all gone very quiet all of a sudden, which always worries me.
Yeah, the final wave by happening now. So that's any cars that are trapped between the safety car, which leads the pack, and the individual class leaders. And there's a few cars that have taken advantage of this to get one lap back on their in their respective classes. It's not applicable in DPI because all 6 cars that haven't had major problems are running still on a lead lap. And all of them, incidentally, have led this race at one stage or another. In LMP2, there's a couple of cars that did take advantage of this, including number 11 car. The number 52 still leads by one lap. No, it doesn't now. No, because Ryan DL did not stop, did he? Yes, he did. It must have been a very quick stop. He's got back on the lead lap, I think. Number 18, so 52 and the 18 are now back on the same lap in LMP2. One lap back is number 11 car. One lap behind that are number 22, 29. And then one further lap back into number 20 car. Number 29 made a pit stop not too long ago, and it was, the timing was somewhat unfortunate. That lost a lap to the other leaders, in LMP2, so there's now just two cars on the lead lap in LMP2.
Right, okay, Jeremy, thank you very much indeed. VP Fuels in race update. Fifth full course caution. Just 20 minutes of green course, green running between the last two. Prototype class split going on.
Yes, and what that means is all the prototype cars will move ahead of all the GT cars, and some of those cars that did get that lap back are now taking advantage of the fact that the caution is continuing to come in, take on fuel, and then if they can catch up, great. If they can't catch up, at least they are still back on the lead, on one lap ahead of where they were previously.
Yes, good point. Very good point. Next round of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship could be much different. On the streets of Long Beach, we go from the wide open spaces of Sebring to the streets of Long Beach and the Long Beach Grand Prix. I suppose there is a common denominator there, and that is concrete. Driving on the concrete here, driving between the concrete when we go to Long Beach. The joint shortest race of the year. 100 minutes Friday and Saturday. Check imsaradio.com for the broadcast schedule and have qualifying and the race for you from that event. I'm delighted to say we've got full coverage all the way through the year for you.
What the two cars in GTD that are back on the lead lap now are the Settler Ferrari, the blue Ferrari. It's had all sorts of dramas during this race. That is now back on the lead lap in GTD. Also back on the lead lap is number 99 Team Hardpoint Porsche. Rob Ferriel driving that car at the moment. And they've been kind of flying underneath the radar screen, which is probably good news because they were emphatically not doing that on Thursday evening when Catherine Lake had a big crash. Well, had a crash down at turn 17. Which it wasn't a big crash necessarily, but it did quite a lot of did some damage that wasn't easily repairable. They could not mount the wing on that car, so they had to change chassis on that number 99 car. But they're still very much in contention there now in GTD.
Gotcha.
Alex Lane just out of the O2 Cadillac. Alex, the yellow flags here just keeps creating stalemate after stalemate. You guys are all to play for. It's like going back to the start. And I think we're going back to green this lap, but back to that, Alex.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, we didn't have a caution for 3 hours, and now we're having them every half an hour. So the teams have to be really on the ball on strategy.
There's nothing you can really do with regards to strategy if those yellow flags keep spoiling it.
Well, then it all comes down to fuel consumption. If you can manage to stay with the leader or stay right in the fight and save a lot of fuel, then your fuel time when you stop is going to be shorter.
And are you guys managing that?
We're having a little play as the day goes on to see what we can do.
All right, thanks, Alex. I'll let you go.
Back to green flag racing. And once again, the GTs are carving it up. And the Rissi Competizione Ferrari is trying to get another lap back. It's got a really good start getting among the leaders of GTD Pro. Dropped a few laps earlier on with power steering problems. Both of the Heart of Racing Astons have had issues. That'll upset Sarah Rigby. They did go behind the wall for quite a long time. And I think Tom Campbell got back out again, but then went missing. And that hasn't been circulating for quite a while. Meantime, we've got yet another GT car that's gone behind the wall, and that is the number 59 Crucial Motorsports, the bronze metallic 720 McLaren. So that's more problems and a penalty for the core Autosport car, plus 9 in the pit lane. That'll get a drive through. So still these penalties keep coming. It's almost like this is the first race of the season, not the second event. So in GTD Pro at the moment, Nicky Katzberg right up behind Jack Hawksworth in the Vassar Sullivan Lexus. I think that's the first time that Lexus has led the GTD Pro today.
Yeah, I think it is.
Down into turn number 17. And the spoiler in there is the side-by-side for the lead. I'll come back to that in a moment across the line. The two different coloured yellow cars. Lexus has the favoured inside line to turn one. Katzberg tries to go the long way around. Will he do the over and under? He does. He cuts back to the left-hand side. Needs to get his nose up the inside of the Lexus. Can't get it done. Flashing the lights, trying to break the concentration of Jack Hawksworth. In behind them, the BMW is off into the wall at the exit of turns, at the entrance to turn 17 is the Müller Motorsport prototype, the blue and white car. So that is going to be another full course yellow, unless that car can be pulled out. So that is
Harry Gottsacker.
Harry Gottsacker drafted into that. Here comes the BMW round the outside at turn number 7, the hairpin. That's looking for second place on the Corvette. Didn't get that done. The spoiler in there, I'll say this quickly before we go to full course yellow, is the Ferrari. It would be magnificent if the Ferrari could get past these cars for Ferrari Competizione. They would get another lap back. They went down as far as, I think, 6 laps down.
At least, I think it
might have been even more. Full course yellow. Full course yellow. We haven't had the penalty served by Core Autosport either. So once again, our hard-working recovery crews are going to be pressed into order. There is a slight irony that one of the sponsors on that car that is on the wheel arch, the fender that has broken off, is TechPro, who are a barrier company. And that was just a loss on the bumps again. Harry almost got it back, but not quite. And he'll need assistance to get back to the pit lane. The pits are closed. This is a short yellow because it was not 15 minutes from the previous. And Jeremy Shaw will explain what that means.
Yeah, so we will not go through all the pit stop sequences, basically. Everybody will pack up behind the safety car. That will be deployed, and everybody will line up behind the safety car. But there will be no more changing of positions, other than moving the prototypes ahead of the GTD cars, but they should be already there in any case because that split was just made. But there will be no other wave arounds or pit stops or anything else. So we should be able to go back to green relatively quickly, we hope. This has been a rather messy portion of the race, hasn't it? Because we went, 2 hours and 40 minutes at the beginning, which is the normal length of an IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race regular season. Without any caution periods at all. And now we've had a whole string of them. This is the sixth.
Not here from Cody Holloway. Suggestion, why don't we have the Sebring 12 hours on Sunday and have FIA on Saturday? Because people have to work on Friday. Well, if you had it on Sunday, there'd be nobody here because everybody leaves here on Sunday to get back home. And that's the advantage of having the headline race on the Saturday. People don't have as many holidays here in the US as we tend to get in Europe if you're an office worker or a normal worker. And so people tend to drive or make their travel plans, and they can be back at work on Monday. The tradition of racing here Thursday, Friday, Saturday is one of the great things about this event.
Just wondering what happened to the AWA Duquesne, because it's in fifth place in the class, and you got back to within one lap of the leaders in the class, but now it's an extended pit stop. It's dropping back again.
Stephen McAleer, this Gilbert Cawthorne from Mercedes just keeps stealthing its way up into the podium positions. How did you guys get up to the lead of the class before that last yellow?
Yeah, you know, we were off to not a great start. We got a drive through, and then we get another drive through. But you know, after running with these guys in the 24 hour, you know, it's about being there at the end and being smart, and we've managed to get the lap back. You know, we're pretty excited. We found some pace. We made some adjustments on the car on the last change for Danny, and you know, still 6 hours left of this race. But you know, that we have a chance here.
There's a big difference between getting your lap back and leading the class, and then leading it handily for a little while, though. So you guys clearly have a good car below you.
Yeah, you know, I think so. Yeah, one of the things I'm working hard on is just really trying to stay out of trouble. I mean, there's a lot of driving out there that it looks like it's the last lap of the race, and you know, you got to take the ego out of the equation and give it up when you see stuff like that. So we've cycled our way to the front. You know, the team's doing a great job here with strategy. Mike is plenty fast, and Danny as well. So I mean, we'll run around for a couple more hours and see where we end up.
Well, not to give any spoilers out, if you don't want to know the results of the Michelin Pilot Challenge, turn away here for the next couple seconds. Your boy Chad did pretty good the other day. Did that put any extra pressure on you?
Yeah, you know, we had a chat over text message. We said that McCombie McAleer Racing is undefeated in GT4 right now. You know, we won the first one, and Chad won the second one. So, you know, big congratulations to him. We obviously wanted to have a fight with him at the end of the race here, but we get caught out on a pit stop error halfway through the race. And then, you know, jumping in this Mercedes is quite a difference to adapt to this thing and get moving as fast as we can.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Shay.
John, you should see him. He's in these layback comfy chairs behind the pit wall with a fan blown on him, too. And another car that's gone behind the pit wall, the number 13 AWA LMP3 machine.
This from Double Waved Yellow says, what makes Sebring different and special from all the other places in the US that we race on Sunday? Because the race doesn't finish till after 10 o'clock at night. And the races that finish really late, where it would make it difficult for people to get back home before their Sunday working, like, I don't know, Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, that's on a Saturday as well. So the longer races tend to be on the Saturdays. And the guys here at Sebring are very particular about that, indeed. Right, Jeremy, how's things going then? So this is not, we're not going to get the pits opened here, so everyone just follows the leader, and we don't even get a split, or do we?
Yeah, I think there'll be a split, but there shouldn't be really many, if any, cars out of place, so that certainly shouldn't take too long. We talked about GPI cars a while ago. We've got six of those still on the lead lap. LMP2 now, the number 18 car and the number 11 car both have managed to get back onto the lead lap with the number 52. So it's Mikkel Jensen at the wheel of the number 52 car for PR1 Matheson Motorsports. The sister car of Josh Pearson, car number 11, is in third place, and they are sandwiching the number 18 Era Motorsport entry with Ryan Dielle at the wheel of that car now. All those three cars are on the same lap. One lap down are number 29, that's Racing Team Nederland, the yellow car, with Dylan Murray, the young American, at the wheel, and Duncan Tappy for United Autosports, the car number 22, also one lap down. Then for High Class Racing, despite all the myriad dramas they've had, car number 20 is in just one more lap further back with Fabio Scherer at the wheel.
It's a bit strange when Core Autosport gets a penalty for anything, but particularly speeding on the pit lane, 9 over. When they do that, you know, they don't just go 1 over, they do it properly. But what happened on the last pit stop was that they did the brake change, and then they changed the ECU on the last stop. That resets the pit lane speed limiter. So normally John wouldn't need to hit the button again, but he did, and he forgot. So
okay.
Minor infraction, but that explains it. Thanks, Aaron.
So that is one of the cars, when you come into the pit lane, it stays on until you let it off again at the other end. But because
Correct.
They changed it and effectively cycled the power on the ECU, he needed to have pushed it again before he pulled away.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, how annoying. How annoying. Thank you, Shay. That's a really good technical answer. Stuart Hart says, what do you think about FIA WEC hypercar teams being part of the Sebring 12 hours on Saturday and scoring points for the WEC? No. If you're going to score points for the WEC, you should be in a WEC race. Friday for WEC, LMP2 and GTM teams. I don't think you can do that. I think that's messing about with it too much. And we're still waiting for a full set of combined results from the last time we had a combined WEC and IMSA race here. And Shea Adam was on graphics at that time. And how's that therapy going, Shea?
I'm still traumatized from that, John. That was my first weekend in graphics. We had 9 classes and 7 colors to choose from. And then we had to double up on the numbers. So as you were talking about yesterday, we had a 0, 5, 5. We had a 5, 5. We had a 5. We had a 1, 5, 5. Too many
I think you
numbers.
Had a 555 as well, didn't you?
I think so, maybe. I do.
There was
a
lot of fives
back.
Being used.
There were a lot of fives. And then, to make things even more complicated, was when we were calling up the graphics, we had to assign aliases to all of those numbers because they were too close, and then the computers would trip over themselves. So we had certain cars that were, say, the 055. We would normally just call that up with whatever number we were going for the graphics, 55. But no. Then we had to give it a random number, like 63, and then hope there wasn't a 63 in the field.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let's go to United Autosport while we've got the chance. And 2003 Le Mans winner from Bentley, Guy Smith, is with Joe Bradley.
Guy, this here, yellows breed yellows. That's certainly what we're seeing here. Must be frustrating from a team point. You can't make progress. You can't do anything. It's stalemate.
It's frustrating for us. I think this last yellow, we actually managed to gain a lap back. But pretty much every other yellow since then, we've not been able to do that. So it's a little bit frustrating, but the nature of IMSA racing means that, you know, if you are a lap or two down, you can at least have the possibility to get it back. So we'll keep working. I've got the best team in the business, and they'll get us back on the lead lap and hopefully get us somewhere there by the end of the race.
Are you still trying to gain back what you lost when the systems failure stopped the car?
Yeah, we went two laps down, and we're now one lap down. So, hopefully we can get another lap back. That would be great. The car's working really, really well. And, it's actually been not been too many yellows for the start of the race. And then, you know, the yellows breed yellows. So it's always exciting. It's always interesting, Sebring, and always throws up a few surprises.
As we see the sun go down, and don't say the obvious, what happens? What happens to the track? I'd said that to McNish once. You know what he said? It gets dark. You know, he knew what I meant. You know what I mean, Guy.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, it's very warm today. It's incredibly hot. And when the track goes hot, we lose downforce, we lose grip, the tyres, lose grip. So generally, as the track cools down and the sun goes down, generally the performance picks up and we get a little bit more downforce, the tyres seem to work a little bit better, so it usually go a little bit quicker, and then when we go into the night time, particularly here, it's very, very dark. I mean, somewhere like Daytona, it's pretty well lit, but Sebring is really, really dark, so it's quite a difficult place to drive at night, particularly somebody as old as me. But looking forward to it. It's always a challenge, and it's always a lot of fun.
Great to talk to you as ever, Guy. Thanks very much, mate.
Guy Smith in the pit lane with Joe Bradley. They could do the WEC race on the Sunday and start it earlier. Race on the Friday is a real drag, and I always miss it. Super Seagreen loses out by wasting a day that people are actually off for a day that they aren't. Says double waved yellow. WEC thought about racing on the Sunday, but decided against it as they didn't want their race to finish with a background of empty racetrack and the detritus of a full week. I think what you've got to remember is that Sebring isn't just Saturday and Sunday, or Friday and Saturday, or Thursday, Friday and Saturday. It starts on Wednesday. It's like Le Mans, and people come here for the most part. The big draw for the WEC coming here is that they get in front of their biggest crowd of the year other than Le Mans, and you know, the vast majority of that crowd have come here to see IMSA race. Yes, there's a few people who will, I'm sure, would stay on, but there aren't 130,000 people who are going to stay on Sunday to watch the WEC.
And it's not even just from Wednesday onwards. I mean, it started last weekend, didn't it?
Of course it did.
You were talking about earlier on with the prologue here, the pre-event test for the World Endurance Championship. So yeah, it is and before that, I mean, the Porsche had Porsche Carrera Cup North America had a test last week. Yep. All the Porsche guys, they've been here for two weeks already.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark has said, thoughts on the news that WEC will allow pre-homologated LMDHs to race this year? I'm not aware there are any pre-homologated LMDHs. Any homologated LMDHs at the moment, the only LMDH that has even turned a wheel is the Porsche in testing, and they haven't finalised their homologation yet. Across the line they go, and we're restarting again with 5 hours and 20 minutes on the clock. 10 minutes before 5 o'clock in the afternoon, still a little overcast, but still plenty of racing to go here. And another good restart, this time from Ricky Taylor for Cunningham and Alta Acura. 6 tenths of a second over Tom Blomqvist as he went across the line.
48 car dive down the inside, the number 5 car there into turn 3. A pass made there by Jose Maria Lopez on Tristan Vautier.
So a position made up there by Jose Maria Lopez up to third.
Tristan Nunez thinking about it as well at turn 7. Alex thinks that probably not such a good idea. Tucks back into line.
Now let's see what the 31 of Tristan Nunez can do here. It's under pressure. 31, Nunez goes through and has made up a position. So it's Taylor, Blomqvist, then Lopez, then Nunez, and then Vautier. Lost a couple of positions, Tristan Vautier, on that restart. But again, as I say, good restart. People starting to come back, maybe from a little bit of an afternoon in their RVs, just cooling themselves down. The odd beverage or two, getting into, not quite yet the money laps of the race, but not far away. Race will be probably run one or last within the last 2.5-3 hours. And certainly the cars have been set up. Every team up and down the pit lane been telling us they're setting up the cars for when it gets cooler. And that means when the sun goes down around about 7:30 this evening. 7:33, 7:32 official sunset. Something like that. Meanwhile, back in the GT classes, GTD Pro, BMW third. Second Corvette, first is the number 14. Lexus, they're under the turn 17 bridge. Still the Ricci Competizione Ferrari there, trying to get another lap back. Flash of the headlights by the BMW driver Philippe Hennon, Nicky Katzberg, who's got Jack Hawksworth right in front of them. They all dive into turn one. Very confident by Jack Hawksworth. Didn't defend at all going into turn one. Absolutely knew that his car was going to be quick. Good front end on that car. Looked like it turned in very nicely. Katzberg in second position in the Corvette, the Singleton Corvette in IMSA competition. Their teammate car raced yesterday in the FIA WEC. Down to the hairpin. Ricci Competizione lurking behind, but laps away from those three leaders. Hoping for a little conflagration, a bit of a schmozzle, so they can nip back through and get another lap back.
Yeah, and in GTD Pro, it's Lexus, Chevrolet, BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Lamborghini in the top six positions, all different cars in there. And also amongst that group is the Ferrari that is still five laps down, having had the problems early on. But that's all a train of cars. They're all very, very closely matched. Very cool stuff. In GTD regular, is Mercedes, BMW, Mercedes, Aston Martin with Spencer Papelli and Magnus Racing up into fourth position in GTD. Then another Mercedes, then a McLaren and a Lexus, and then a couple of Ferrari. So again, lots of variety.
Eric Johansson is in that lead battle as well, but many laps down now for the BMW of Paul Miller Racing. But they're full season entrants, and they missed the first round at the Rolex 24 because they didn't have their new BMW. So they will be on a points gathering mission there and making sure that they get the most that they can in the GTD category. This GTD Pro category comes under the bridge again at turn 17 in the sunshine. Afternoon sunshine now. Absolutely evenly matched as they come to the line and cross it. 5.25 hours to go. Live from Sebring. The Mobile One 12 hours for 2022. Presented by Advance Auto Parts. Katzberg trying a different line in the Corvette there through turn one, but can't make that happen. Here comes the Ricci Competizione Ferrari. This could be a spoiler here. There's no reason, of course, why that car can't have a bit of a mix. It's Eddie Cheever the third who's in that car, and they will want to get back through.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to get another couple of laps and possibly more back. Now, can it win the race? I don't know, but it could improve its position, and that again, that might make the difference between whether that car comes back or not. We weren't expecting to see this car here, Jeremy, the 62 I'm talking about here, but they did very well at the Rolex 24 at Daytona, and Giuseppe Ricci got the car entered into this one.
Yeah, right in the mix all the way through the weekend at Daytona. Finished in second position as a result of the Porsches getting together on the last lap, was able to split them at the finish line. They are here this weekend, you're right, and the car has been fast. And you know, there's plenty of time, as you say, John Hindhoff, through strategy to get laps back. But if they can get one back on the road by actually passing the leaders as well, that's even better. And way more satisfying as well. So you've got to know that Edward Cheever is going to look to do exactly that. And I think there's a bit of a mistake there from Hawksworth, and a Corvette seems to be going through the John Deere beyond Ben. So a new leader then in GTD Pro is ahead down the Alec-Holman Strait. The Corvette back ahead of the Lexus, and the BMW trying to make a move and will do so under braking for the Sunset Bend. He's actually thinking about having a look at the Corvette too. Wow.
Down towards turn 17 and through it from first to third in a lap for Jack Hawksworth. Corvette leads, BMW second, then third is Jack Hawksworth in the Lexus. Here comes Eddie Cheever the third. He goes to the inside, shows the headlights, pulls out from behind the Lexus, but not quite close enough as they go through the kink at turn two up to Christensen Bend. Past the Palm Grove on the right-hand side. Not quite illuminated yet. Not late enough in the day.
And a new best lap by the two leading Acuras. We've got Acura 1-2 all of a sudden, haven't we? I hadn't really noticed that until just after the restart. And both of those two Acuras turning their best laps of the race last time around. That's lap 187. 147.7. for the leader, car number 10, 147.8 for Tom Blomqvist in second place. 147.4 this time for Blomqvist in second place in the Acura. The fastest lap of the race, that was set about 50-odd laps ago by Mike Conway in number 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac at 147.0.
Ricky Taylor pushing on at the head of the field. He's pulled out a 1.2 second gap. Doesn't sound much, but the fastest lap of the MSR Acura's race last time around by Tom Blomqvist, 147.497.
Yeah, just said that. Two laps in a row he's done that, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was a big chunk too, because he took away 0.3 just on that last lap compared to the previous lap.
Yeah. He's been impressive.
Yeah.
Been impressive. 21 drivers doing double duty in the IMSA paddock this weekend. Either IMSA drivers swapping over to the WEC, or in fact, IMSA drivers who also have a WEC program this year, just underlining what a huge international presence IMSA still has. Really has a quality field of drivers from across. I can't remember how many nationalities we worked out there were at Daytona in here, but it was
31, I think it was at Daytona. I thought
it was more than 30.
Here there are 26 different nationalities. USA, 58 American drivers, 22 from the UK, 10 from Canada. And then 8 from Italy, 7 from Germany, and on down the way. But yeah, 26 drivers, pretty impressive. Of course, there's one driver driving two cars here, so I'm only going to count him once.
Okay.
We've got 158 drivers in total.
Yeah, and the calibre of the drivers as well. You've got all three of one of the Toyota Gazoo Racing World Endurance Championship drivers who have full or partial IMSA programmes. All of them are racing here. Amongst the other 21, wasn't it? Mike Conway, Cameron Kobayashi, Jose Maria Lopez, Felipe Nasa, Louis Delatraz, Mike Rockefeller, Philippe Albuquerque, Ollie Jarvis, Fabio Scherer, Will Stevens, Rui Andrade, Stephen Thomas, Antonio Fuoco, Simon Mann, Tony Villander, Ben Keating, Brendan Arie, Ben Barnacle, Ollie Milroy, Julian Andlauer, and the newest class winner and youngest class winner ever in WEC, Josh Pearson, all with IMSA Drives. Josh, one of the drivers, has a number of those that I mentioned who are doing twin programs. It's a good time to be a sports car driver if you're good, or if you're hungry, or if you're well funded. There's plenty of racing, and IMSA is benefiting from that as much as the European Le Mans Series, the Asian Le Mans Series, and indeed the WEC itself. When you look at the grids for the recently announced European Le Mans Series and the Michelin Le Mans Cup, 43 and 42 respectively, Ligier Cup, where Lilo Radu came out of, that is sold out. They have a full grid. It's a good time to be in endurance racing. Let's go to Shea, one of our international drivers here from Canada, Kyle Tilley.
From Canada? No, from England. But
from
Kyle,
England,
you lived in Indianapolis for such a long time. Surely this heat isn't affecting you. It gets warm up there too.
Yeah, Indianapolis is kind of home these days, but I know England will always be home, won't it?
So talk a little bit about how difficult it is in the P2 car with no AC.
Last time I checked, I think our in-car temp was approaching close to 200 Fahrenheit. And, it's toasty out there. So Ryan and I in doing doubles to the end. So, kind of wishing we had a cool shirt. But, you know, it's the only time I've actually ever wished we had a cool shirt in the car. But, is what it is. We'll power through.
Still in second, still fighting for the lead. Do you guys have anything for the end of this one?
Like John was saying, I think everybody set the car up for when it's dark. So we think so, but it depends how knackered we are at the end of it.
Fingers crossed for you.
We'll be all right. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Kyle, I gave you the wrong nationality there. I was looking at something else at the time, which had the maple leaf on it. And you know how you see something and it triggers something in your mind. My apologies, I was looking at international drivers. Of course, I know Kyle's from the UK.
We talked about the pace of the Acuras stepping up since this most latest restart. On the two laps ago, Ricky Taylor in the lead went quicker again. He did a 47.3. That's a full half a second quicker, faster than the car had been previously in this race. Again, it's getting a little bit cooler now, perhaps, but not much. The Acura is certainly beginning to show their paces a little bit more. Also in the last few laps, so Tristan Vautier turned his best lap of the race as well. We talked about Blomqvist, and Neil Jarny did as well. And kind of a 0-2. It's interesting, Jarny quickest in the 0-2 car. Wow.
Yeah. Well, he's a class act, isn't he? Former works driver. He's driven at the highest level. And let's be honest, Chip Ganassi doesn't hire people who can't do the job.
No. And he's just managed to find a way past Tristan Nunez. Oh, okay, Nunez slipped wide there to turn 17. Yeah, they're going through some lap traffic there. And he got kind of the worst of it, slid on wide. And Neil Jarny says, thank you very much. I'll have a position back. So that's fifth place now for number 02 Cadillac and number 31 Cadillac. In GTD Pro, the Corvette leads. We saw Nicky Katzberg make that pass on Jack Hawksworth, who's slipped back about 3 seconds in third position now in car number 14, the Lexus for Vassar Sullivan, but still a couple of seconds clear of Maddie Campbell in the Porsche for Pfaff Motorsports. That's car number 9. And then behind him, and still right there, are number 97 WeatherTech Mercedes, Jules Gugnot, number 63 Lamborghini of Mirko Bertolotti, and number 79 Porsche of Julian Andlau, that's been sort of just lurking and not really anywhere threatening in the early stages of this race, but again, very, very much in contention. So busy out there. The leaders are working their way through the lap traffic, as they are indeed again now, and working their way through the GTD Pro leaders. Whoa, and number 31 car slides wide right behind him on the road. This is the much delayed 01 car of Renger van der Zender. He leads him wider. He was distracted there by Nunez slipping, losing some traction in the middle of the corner.
Yeah, and that car lost laps early on with engine issues, but Renger in seventh of the seven DPIs. Huge sideways moment, got a bit of a tank slapper on at turn three, kept it out of the wall though. An important running for these cars. They are 44 laps off the lead, that'll tell you. They were in and out and behind the wall at least a couple of times, possibly even three. But with the downshift issues, which we think from what they went through and the way they went through it in the fault finding, was probably an electrical issue. They went through the mechanical parts of it and then eventually ended up plugging the computer in and changing the steering wheel. And since then, Shea, I think that car's been, if not completely up to speed, it's certainly not been back in and not behind the wall.
Yeah, pit stops like clockwork. They've been doing their thing, trying to get the lap back every time that the full course caution comes out, pitting after all the other DPIs pit. And they've been doing a good job so far, just quietly trying to make their way back up, but dropping down so early, that kind of took the wind out of their sails.
Thank you, Shea.
So super battle going on, yes, in GTD, John.
Yes.
Phil Ellis actually in number 57, Winwood Mercedes, actually pulled out a little bit of a gap actually over Bill Oberlin in second position. But behind Oberlin, there is Daniel Morrell in the Mercedes, Jordan Pepper, the South African, in the Ferrari, car number 70 for Inception Racing. Antonio Fuoco, also been the number 47 Settler Ferrari, amazingly, is right back in the thick of that battle as well. In fact, he's just got past Jordan Pepper on that last lap, so moved the Settler Ferrari, car number 47, up to fourth place in GTD.
Jose Maria Lopez sliding the Ally Cadillac around in his pursuit of Tom Blomqvist, second and third. Blomqvist in the 60, the pink and white MSR Acura, and the Cadillac, the Ally Cadillac, the white and shades of purple, number 48. They are around the far side of the circuit at the moment, heading towards turn number 10. Check that, turn 13 already. That's how quick they are. Time it took me to look up to the timing screen. And back. Oh, and Jose Maria Lopez almost goes off at exactly where he flipped the Toyota Gazoo Racing GR010 yesterday. Picked the outside line, passing a slower car, and fortunately there was concrete runoff there. He's really pushing hard. Pacito right on it at the moment, chasing down the second place car of Tom Blomqvist. Blomqvist with a bit of breathing space. Through turn 17, the leader crosses the line. Ricky Taylor with 1.6 seconds ahead of Blomqvist. Blomqvist now 1.1 seconds ahead of Lopez. That was a very close thing for Pacito there as he was going past the
38 car.
It is, yeah, the red and silver,
which is back out after the problems they had a little while ago.
Who, I mean, there's very few who haven't.
That's true.
Fastest lap of the race, Neil Jarny, 147.018.
Mike Conway, that was.
Yeah. My apologies. So, Mike Conway, yes, that was on lap 128. Mike Conway's fastest lap yesterday in the Toyota?
49.2, I think it
was. Yeah, 49.2, yeah.
And the best of the Toyotas. Actually, no, it was the race winner, I think, that set the fastest lap. The best of the Toyotas wasn't. The best of the Toyotas wasn't below 150, I think.
So Mike Conway,
50.2 or 3, I think.
Works Toyota driver, more than 2.5 seconds quicker in the DPI today on customer tyres as opposed to confidentials, of course. Just underlining what a difficult job the technical staff will have when they have to bring the next generation of DPI and the hypercars together. And there's potentially, what have we got? We've got bespoke prototype standard, bespoke prototype with hybrid, road-going hybrid, road-going non-hybrid, and then the LMDH. So that's five different types of car based on road-going. potentially five different regulations being brought together there for 2023 in IMSA and the ACO. I suspect long nights and much scratching of heads and rubbing of chins. Another hour of racing almost complete. WWOJ, Ireland's best country, 99.1 FM on News Talk 7:30 AM and 95.3 FM, and around the world on IMSA Radio RS2 as well as Sirius XM 206. We're live from Sebring. There are 5 hours to go, and the next racing hour starts right now.